Good morning. There is a New Yorker magazine cartoon. Ever see New Yorker magazine? It's a magazine that's worth subscribing to just for its cartoons, or its comics. And one of them from a few years ago had two people talking to each other. And one person is saying to the other, well, enough about me. Let's talk about you. So what do you think about me? I feel a little bit like that today in that I would like to talk a little bit about me. Not that I'm preaching me, but just to talk about me a little bit in the context of what I've been experiencing this past week and talk to you a little bit about that this morning. But in the midst and in the context of, I think, what our readings can say to us this morning as we gather together. This past Monday, the Diocese of Atlanta announced its final five nominees for Bishop of Atlanta. And my name is one of those names. And hopefully you received a letter that I sent to everyone in the parish about this experience, explaining some things in more detail. And also that letter is on our website, if you'd like to look at that, if you haven't received it yet. If you haven't, I apologize for that. But this has been quite a week, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this experience that that I'm having and my wife Mary and I are having in many ways together as we journey forth here. A few months ago, probably back in September or October, I had a few friends of mine approach me and say to me they'd like to recommend my name to the Diocese of Atlanta to their search and nominating committee in their search for bishop, and I listened to them. I sat and I listened to what they were saying. Their sense was that what the Diocese of Atlanta was looking for and what you find in their profile was something that perhaps I had something to bring to that. And I listened to them very deeply and intently. And I asked them that if I could think about it. And I spent quite a bit of time listening. Listening to my heart. Listening to God working in my heart. Also listening to Mary. She and I have had more conversations about that. We've been doing a lot of listening with each other as we walk through this, and just listening to where I should be in this process, and listening also to those in the Diocese of Atlanta and what they are trying to do in their diocese. And so, while I've said to you often, I still say to you, I am not looking to leave St. Paul's. We have done so much here together. And I still have much that we have to do, I think, as we go forward. But in a sense, as being part of the larger church, I felt it appropriate to let my name go forward. And since that time, I've walked through a process with the Diocese of Atlanta, particularly with the 20 members of the Search and Nominating Committee, who in many ways I've gotten to know. It began with a response to three questions. It was a writing response to respond to, and those questions and answers are actually on the Diocese of Atlanta website. If you want to go there and look at each nominee and what their answers are to those questions. That led to I was invited further to a phone interview where I spoke and listened to the 20 members of the search committee as we had conversations for a while on the phone. As a result of that phone interview, I was then invited to a retreat, a three-day retreat in Atlanta, actually outside of Atlanta, which I went to in January. And got to join a few other candidates that were being considered at the time. And then from that retreat, I was invited further into the process by members of the search and nominating committee actually coming here to St. Paul's to visit. And they were here a couple of weeks ago. You might have noticed these three people roaming around. I don't know if you did or not. And then this past Friday, I received a phone call. We were out at the Bavarian Brathaus in Durham, German restaurant, celebrating my daughter's birthday, when I got a call from the chair of the search and nominating committee letting me know that they decided they want to put my name forward as a final candidate. And I took this phone call with the German music playing in the background and trying to explain that this isn't my house I'm in right now. I'm at a restaurant. So it's been a process of listening. Listening, listening, listening. And this past week it was announced that I'm one of the five that are being considered, and there'll be more to come, more listening to come as we walk through this journey for the next few months. June 2nd will be the election for the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta, and ask your prayers for me as we go through this. And also ask your prayers for Michael and for Sam and for Jim and for Rob, the other four priests who are in this process as well. We've gotten to know each other. We spent 3 days together on a retreat. And this past week, we've been emailing each other as well, you know, supporting each other in this journey we walk together. And I give thanks to all of you for your emails, for your voicemails, for conversations that have really been in many ways overwhelming to me in terms of your support and your care about this process. I didn't know what to expect. It's a very vulnerable process to put yourself into. I've heard from people from California to New York, from Michigan to Florida. People throughout the country have heard about this, and people I've come to know, and I'm so far behind in responding to emails, but it's just been a very uplifting kind of experience, and I give you thanks for that, and pray that you may continue to keep me and my family in prayer as we go through this process together. So listening has been a key part of this experience over the last few months. And while now it is a more public experience, I will continue to try to listen to where God is leading and pray for the Diocese of Atlanta. They may listen too to where God is leading them. Listening has been a part of my spiritual journey. I've shared with you over the years, my faith journey has very much been formed and shaped by what is referred to as Benedictine spirituality. Saint Benedict was a saint in the early church. And he shaped and formed what is today referred to as the Rule of Saint Benedict. It was a way of shaping the life of some early Christians who wanted to live what we know today as a monastic life. Those who wanted to live apart from the regular community in a different way and form a different kind of community, mostly in the desert at that time. And Saint Benedict shaped a rule, guidelines of how to live that, how to do that. And that has led to what guides many monastic communities today. But the Rule of St. Benedict is not just about details of how to live in a monastery, but it really gives shape and form to a way of entering into the spiritual journey. And it speaks to those not only in monasteries, but also those of us who are not in monasteries. And it's very much influenced my spirituality, and also has very much influenced the spirituality of the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion. But in the Rule of St. Benedict, The first word of the Rule of St. Benedict is listen. Listen. That call to listen to God working in our lives. And the rest of the rule is about supporting that listening and being formed and shaped by that listening to how God operates. So listening has been such a significant part of my journey. And that's the word that I heard today when I was preparing to speak today from particularly our gospel reading. It's the story of the Transfiguration. It may be a story that we're familiar with. There may be some of us here who've never heard this story before. But it's a story about Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John. He takes three of his followers and invites them to come to a mountain. And on this mountain, Peter, James, and John have an experience of Jesus that they've never had before. They see Jesus in a whole different way. And the author of this gospel is trying to convey it in words to capture that, that there was this dazzlingness, there was this he's shown forth this kind of white in a way that you wouldn't even be able to bleach clothes. It was this brightness to Jesus, trying to capture that sense of what they were experiencing. It was like, this is the Jesus we know, but we're experiencing him in a whole different way. That's what transfiguration is about. Experiencing something in a whole different way from the normal experience that we've had. And I would suggest to you that you've had those experiences in your life. Well, maybe you weren't on a mountaintop and lights were shining, but have you ever had the experience of someone you care for, someone you love, someone you know, and experiencing them in a whole different way? I mean, I've had that experience with my daughters, actually, my two daughters. Who during these last few months have been two people who have spoken more wisdom to me than many others. My youngest daughter just turned 20 this past Monday. My little baby is now 20. Talk about a transfiguration experience. And my older daughter, who will be 23 in a couple of weeks, have spoken incredible words of wisdom to me during these last few months. And, you know, I stand there and sort of listen to them and see them and just go, wow, how did this happen? You know, you see them in a whole new way. You know, and perhaps you have seen that as well. Mary and I have had, in some ways, transfiguration experiences. There's probably not a day since September, October that we haven't talked about the Diocese of Atlanta, listening to each other and hearing each other and working out how God is working in our lives and in our hearts. Those are transfiguration experiences, hearing, listening, seeing God. And so Peter, James, and John had this experience of Jesus, and they want to hold on to it. When you have that kind of an experience, you want to hold on to it. You want to grasp it. You know, Peter says, let's build something here. Let's hold on. Let's not leave. But Jesus says to them, no, we need to go down this mountain now. You know, we got to continue. Remember when I first called you? Remember my first words, Peter, James, and John, in different situations, follow me. Walk with me. Come with me. Leave where you are, for you are not yet. Let go of who you are for who you can become. Let go of what you think you know for what you can come to know and understand in your lives. And Jesus is inviting them to continue this journey, to walk down the mountain, back to the day-to-day life that they live, but in a new way, a new transfigured way. And they're transformed as well. And as they're coming down the mountain, notice this phrase that I think sometimes gets lost in this gospel reading. As they're coming down the mountain, it says, God speaks out to them and says, listen. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. And I think that's the invitation we have in our lives, to listen, to listen. As we enter into this season of Lent that's upcoming, I invite you to perhaps tune the ear, not these ears, but the ears of your heart, to listen, to be open to where God is calling you in your life, to open yourself to the transfigurations that are possible in your own life as well, and be called anew to follow Jesus, to go to new places, understand new things, open our lives to new possibilities. Let us walk this journey together. And during this time that we find ourselves in now, this time of stewardship in our parish, I invite you to consider how you can respond to St. Paul's, to consider how you can support St. Paul's. All of you will have, or you may have already received a letter. This year's stewardship program, our fellow parishioners writing fellow parishioners letters where they share a bit of their story, a bit of their journey. I invite you to take that letter and maybe pull it out of the pile of mail and go to another place than maybe where you usually read your mail and listen to it. Listen to that story. Listen to that parishioner who walks this faith journey with us. Listen to their story and let it be an invitation to you to step forward and to stretch yourself. And sit down with that pledge card and make a commitment, make a financial commitment to St. Paul's that will continue to support the wonder of this parish. Make a financial commitment that you have 52 weeks to honor and to walk into. If you've never done this before, if you're new to St. Paul's or just new to church life, I invite you to sit down and consider making some commitment, some financial commitment to St. Paul's, and just start where you are. Whatever it is, start where you are. We can't start anywhere else. We can't say, well, I'll start when I get over here. You start from where you are and invite you to make that kind of a commitment to St. Paul's as we go forward together. Our goal this year is $1 million in giving to the wonder of what St. Paul's can be. I invite you to be part of that. Listen to the stories of those letters. Listen to each other as we go through this Lenten season together. Listen to each other. Listen to God in our hearts as we continue this wondrous journey together, as we come down off our mountaintop with Jesus and continue the journey and live into the dream and live into the vision of who God calls us to. May we continue this wondrous journey together, caring for each other, nurturing each other, challenging each other, and living into the wonder of who God can be in our lives.